May we please open together from Isaiah chapter 7. What I want us to do in the time that we are taking a break from Matthew, I want us to trace what I will call the great expectation of the Messiah from the Old Testament. I want us to realize that the coming of Jesus did not just happen, but it was a pre-planned thing, predetermined by God. So we will look at Isaiah and other portions of the Old Testament. And this morning we read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 to 17. And the title of this message, specifically this morning, The Coming of Emmanuel. And it reads as following. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too likely for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, the year is 734. The year is 734 before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the countryside where King Ahaz is lodging for a little while. The guards and the soldiers are around him. They are ready to defend, they are ready to attack. There's an enemy at hand. Yet there is fear within the king's palace. There had been a division in the kingdom of Israel. The United Kingdom of Israel is now divided into two states, if you will. You have the northern kingdom who keeps the name now Israel. Then you have the southern kingdom who named themselves Judah. The kingdom of Israel is now in an alliance with God's enemies. They are in an alliance with Syria. And Judah is their enemy. In other words, friends, those of worldly desires and immoral lives are coming up against God's people, the remnant called Judah. There is a crisis. The godly is about to be swept away. And they have already lost great territory to their enemies. There is a dilemma. You have a people called Israel, but not really a symbol of a faithful Israel of God. They are just wearing a label, calling themselves Israel. But they have long forsaken the Lord. They have joined with the enemies of God. You see a picture of the false church even today. But then you have the tiny little Judah somewhere there, a picture of the church of God. They are just somewhere on the side and everybody is against them. They are living in great distress and oppression. Please notice, it is not because they forsaken the Lord, but regardless of their worship and faithfulness to God, they are oppressed and distressed by their enemies. They are terrorized. The enemy is encamped everywhere, side by side. The situation is hopeless. And it is clear that if they will remain faithful to God, the world will not help them. Yep. That's what happens, my friends. When you remain faithful to God, the world does not help you. If they remain faithful, they will not be protected by anyone of this world. And their king, King Ahaz, seems to be struggling to trust in God entirely. In the midst of that situation, God sent a prophet named Isaiah to speak a word of encouragement to King Ahaz. We see in verse number 4, he says, and he says to him, this is the prophet speaking God's word to King Ahaz, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint because of those smoldering slums of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. The idea you get here is God is saying, do not be troubled by the ways of men, which may look prosperous in the eyes of men. You need to stay calm, O King Ahaz. You need to stand on the promises of God. Only God will be able to deliver you. So friends, God wants King Ahaz to gaze upon heaven and depend on him. He wants Ahaz not to look around him side by side because there is an enemy encamped around him. He wants him to not see these powerful forces at hand, but to gaze upon heaven and hope in God. God promises to conquer the enemy and save his elect people. But God knows that Ahaz is a double-minded king. I want you to keep that in your mind. Ahaz, a leader of the people of God, is a double-minded king. But God wants Ahaz to understand that once you choose God, you cannot return back to the world and trust the world. And then he warns him in verse number 9. He says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. If you are unable to believe in the Lord who is able to do all things, you are unable to believe in anything. And he will not last in this world. But the sad news is that Ahaz, the king of Judah, did not believe the word of God. He did not believe that the Lord will protect him from his roaring enemies. But regardless of his unbelief, regardless of his faithlessness. God says in verse number
11,
ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz refused to ask for a sign. Not because Ahaz was humble that he doesn't want to test the Lord, as he's saying, but no, Ahaz already decided to get help from the world. But God says, regardless of your unbelief, I will give you a sign anyway. I will show you that I'm a faithful God. I will show you that I'm able to save my people. So the Lord leaves King Ahaz with a great expectation. A sign pointing to his sovereign control.
It
says, therefore, since no man will protect and save you, since you cannot save yourself from your enemies and from yourself, and because of your unbelief, but to show you that I am God, firstly, a virgin shall conceive. You see that in verse number 14. That's the first thing. A virgin shall conceive. God gives King Ahaz a great promise of a child in the midst of deep and troubling time. God is about to do a marvelous thing, my friends. God is about to do something that was never done, and that something that was never done before and after. A miracle above all miracles. In the midst of a faithless and a hopeless people. In the midst of a discouraged people and a discouraging situation, God is about to bring hope and great courage. A virgin shall conceive miraculously, and she will bear a son who will be God's people's hope. Because friends, unless salvation is higher than our wisdom and understanding, we stand in miry clay. Unless, friends, salvation is greater than our strength can provide, we cannot stand the test of time. But we will stand content. Salvation has to be that solemn work of God. It has to be a miracle. Not something that you decide on today and undecide about whenever you want to, whenever you feel like. It has to be work carried out by the Holy Spirit. It has to be work carried out without your help. King Ahaz had a promise from God, but he had a problem at his gate. His enemies were around him, ready to destroy him. He had nowhere to go. And he had a choice to make, friends. Either to trust God or to trust the people of the world. And the promise of this virgin birth was a message to him that he needed only to trust in God, because God alone can do something of a miracle. His situation needed a divine intervention from above. God had to do something that no man can do. And friends, we have a countless number of problems as the people of God. We have crises around us. We have crises in this world we live in. Our leaders does not have a solution. They can only bring destruction, friends. Our schools are in crisis. Our colleges are in crisis. The Christian church is about to be persecuted openly because of the message of the cross that is misrepresented by some charismatics in this world who spray doom and give people snakes and petrol to eat. Where shall we go? Who can deliver us, friends? Who can be our hope? What message do we have in our hearts to hold and to cherish? Does that message say God is in control? Do we even remember God's great power, my friends? Do we remember that He gave us a sign that He was able to bring to pass?
As
we look and think of the virgin birth, a miracle that God was to do to deliver His people. As we think of those things, let us not be shaken by temporal calamities of this world. Let us not fear the sinfulness of this wicked world. But let us hope in God. But King Ahaz did not believe. He will not look at the promise of God and rejoice. He will not look at the promise of God and be reminded that God created the heavens and the earth and there is nothing impossible with Him. And what God was trying to convey to King Ahaz is that, friends, the enemy is bigger than Ahaz, but God is bigger than all. God, friends, does not only win battles. He is able to bring to pass something which seemingly is impossible. Why does He do that? To show that He is in control. He will do a great miracle and rescue His people even throughout all ages. He says a virgin shall conceive. So someone with a sinless nature is to come into the world. Someone with a heavenly and a true righteousness is about to come into the world. A child who possesses both a divine ancestry and a human ancestry. He's coming. He tells King Ahaz, giving him hope. Yet he did not believe. I don't know where do we stand in that one. This child, he has a divine ancestry and a human ancestry. Earlier on in chapter number 4, Isaiah referred to this child as a branch of the Lord. Let's turn to chapter number 4 and look at verse number 2. Listen to what Isaiah says about this child. He says, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be faithful and glorious.
In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be faithful and glorious. And the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. Praised be God. Hallelujah. Is a branch of the Lord. Which means he comes from God. He has a divine lineage, friends. And later on, in Isaiah 11, verse 10, Isaiah tells us that this child also is the root of Jesse. In other words, he has a human ancestry as well. He says, in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations, not nation, shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Such a message, friends, was supposed to blow the king's mind away, if you will. He was supposed to say, wow! If God will do that, God will rescue me. But the king did not believe. Such a message is supposed to blow people's minds away today, but it does not. It does not. It only creates enemies of God. Because it is impossible, friends, not to believe the virgin birth promised by God and still remain a friend of God. Hallelujah. But we as the children of God, we look and rejoice. Because God was about to do something supernatural. God was about to do something in order to deal with the enemy at hand and the enemies of our soul. The virgin will conceive. Heaven will come down to earth and deal with earthly problems. It will deal with earthly problems in a heavenly way. To bring a heavenly solution to earthly problems. The message was very simple, friends. He says, the world has a temporal solution for you, King Ahaz. I have a permanent solution for you. The great expectation was a child. God's emblem of faithfulness and grace to a people who believe. A sanctuary to those who will trust in him. That's all that God needed from Ahaz. To look and believe. To hear the word and believe. Ahaz failed. He did not believe. He did not trust in God. And that's what God needs from each and every one of us. To trust in him. To know that he is a miracle working God. He is sovereign. He has our best interest at heart. But who was the child to be born of a virgin? Secondly, the child is God in the flesh. This is not just an ordinary child. Our problems or the problems of Ahaz did not need an ordinary solution. We see in verse 14, it speaks of Emmanuel. Please underline that. Emmanuel. Verse 14 identifies this child with the name of Emmanuel. We all know, if you did not know, now you know, Emmanuel means God with us. The child who was to be born was God in the flesh. It was God coming down to live with his people where they are. God will come and put upon him flesh and be one of us. This is the promise of an incarnate deity. Friends, a promise that God himself will appear as human. This coming baby will be that omnipotent creator of all things. So God is saying, I'm coming in the person of my son. I'm coming in to dwell among you. I'm coming in to be your God. I'm coming in so that you may be my people. The message to Ahaz's friends was very simple. God will be with his nation, and God will be their protector. So he gives them a name to trust on, a name to depend upon. And we are also given a name, friend, that is a name above every name. He gives him the name of Emmanuel, saying even if the situation is dark and hopeless, I am with you.
Now
he gives him a name to trust upon. Ahaz had to look and understand. He had to look and consider the wickedness of the people around him and his own sinfulness, and turn his eyes upon the Lord. He had to understand that the leaders of this world does not have a permanent solution. Only God does. He had to understand that people sometimes may look glorious and big out there, but really there's a great force that is behind them, and it is not of God. He had to understand that people are driven by the ways of the devil, not the ways of God, and turn his eyes from man. He had to see that there is a new and a living way. A new and a living way, a way of righteousness. He had to realize that God has to be our leader. We must realize that as well. God has to be our leader. But more than that, God had to be with us in the flesh and show that he's greater than anything of this world. He's greater than our ways. So this child was to come into the world not merely, friends, as an answer to the conflict there was, not as an answer to political struggles as we have read, but he had to come into the world to bring an answer to a greater problem than the problem they were seeing at hand. There is a greater problem. Regardless of the army and the soldiers encamped outside, there was a greater problem. A problem of unrighteousness. God was pointing to Ahaz that the world's greatest problem, friends, is sin. That is why God himself has to come in the flesh. The problem of this world is sin. Yes, his enemies were real. His enemies were greater. His enemies were fearsome. Yet, the problem was not the enemy. The problem is not out there, friend. The problem is in here. There was a problem of unrighteousness in the world. So he says he will come in the person of his son. A child who will occupy his office as a mediator between God and man. A son or a child who will be a peacemaker, making peace between God and man, making peace between man and man, making peace between man and himself. A reconciler. A one who will bring an offended party and an offender and bring them together and make them friends. A savior of the lost who was God himself. And we see that vividly in chapter number 9. Let's turn to chapter number 9 and read 6 and 7. We know this verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God himself was going to do this. So the child that was coming was a child that was going to be worshipped by men. They will look unto him as though they are looking at God. They will cherish him as though they cherish and glorify God. He comes to bring hope in a hopeless situation. Praise be to God. In the New Testament, we see that great fulfillment. Who is this child? We understand he is Emmanuel, but did he come? Matthew chapter number 1.
Matthew chapter 1.
Verse 22 and 23.
Verse 22 and 23.
Speaking of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the word of God says. These things that happen. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and I shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now the angel here is speaking to Joseph and is speaking to Mary, saying what is happening is what the prophet spoke about 700 years before the coming of the child. Friends, God in his wisdom realize that we've got problems and crises in this world. But instead of solving all these other problems, that doesn't matter much. Says the world needs Jesus. Here is Jesus born. And we are told that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Our need was that of a savior. And God's provision was that of a savior. Praise be to God. Nothing else. He gave us a savior. to deliver us from our sin and rescue us from the power of sin and the tyranny of Satan. Satan, who was our greater and greatest enemy and came around us, a roaring lion ready to kill and destroy, he sent his son to rescue us from such a one. What did Jesus come to do? To make me rich? No, friend, says to save his people from their sin. So Emmanuel was coming to the world to restore a relationship between God and man. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says in First Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man. Who is his name? The man Jesus Christ. So we have identified who Emmanuel is. He came down from heaven. He took our form so that he may deliver us from this evil world. He came from heaven. He humbled himself that he may also find a people in Olivet that will be called by his name. He came among us so that we may be his people forever. Ahaz had to understand that. We have to understand that. The world around us needs to understand this. We need to understand that our Savior is not from this world, he is from above. He is God the Son, the second person of the Triune God. So Ahaz had to have this great expectation that God is coming in his person. That God alone can solve the problems of this world. Verse 15, where we read verse 15, tells us of righteousness. He speaks of one who will know how to refuse evil and choose good. No one among us here is able on himself to refuse evil and to good, but the one who was coming into the world, he had power in himself to refuse evil and to choose what was good. He was also bringing prosperity in the world. Let's read. He says in verse number 15, he shall eat cats and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and to choose good. He shall eat cats and honey, rich food. He was to bring prosperity. But the prosperity of the soul. You can see that in chapter number 1, verse 21 of the book of Matthew. He came to save his people from their sin, to snatch their souls from the garbage of sin to the marvelous light of God. That is great prosperity, my friends. You can have anything in this world and everything of this world. If you don't have this in your heart, this great prosperity,
the prosperity,
the salvation of your soul, Jesus Christ indwelling you, you can have everything. If you don't have this, you stand as King Ahaz condemned. We will see that just now. So the stumbling block which stood before Ahaz against this promise that was given was his hardened
heart.
He was stubborn to listen and believe the message of God. He was stubborn to look forward to this great expectation that the Lord was going to bring to pass. Ahaz, the king of God's people, was driven by pride. He was not correctable. He was not adjustable. He was not guidable. He was driven by pride. He didn't want God to act on his behalf. He didn't want God to do something. He wanted God to empower him so that he may look like a hero. Friends, we need God to work on our behalf. Stubbornness and human pride, it what remains as a stumbling block to many today to see that Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is the one born of a virgin. Jesus is the one as God's promise, sign of prosperity and rescue of the soul. He is our only hope. Hope of our salvation and rescue from sin. But then, what was the result of Ahaz's unbelief? What will be a result of your own unbelief? Deadly. The child, a reminder of God's judgment on sin and rebellion. Friends, when Ahaz rejected the good news, he received bad news. Let's look at verse 16 and
17.
Isaiah 7.
Isaiah 7.
Listen. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and to choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. Listen. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such a day as has no as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. Listen to this last one. The king of Assyria. That was the problem, and I will explain to you. Friends, indeed, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the coming of Christ, we expect great time of blessing. We expect a great future to unfold. And we see that as we look before now, we have seen that we are expecting great time to unfold, great future before us. But we cannot ignore the coming judgment on the rebellious people of this world. Those who are against God's people, those who are against God's word and reject God's word. King Ahaz here firstly receives warning or great judgment for his enemies first. That's the first thing we see in these verses. He received a message of great judgment towards his enemies, the first thing. Why? Because the enemies of God's people are God's enemies. So the prophet tells Ahaz that before the child shall learn to refuse evil and choose the good, the king of Samaria, the king of Syria, will be destroyed. His enemies will be taken away before him. Because they come against God's people, they will be destroyed. Let me give you something, a little bit of history. He tells us that about 3 years after this preaching of Isaiah to King Ahaz, Samaria and Syria were destroyed. Write this down. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 30, you see there the kings being destroyed. And also 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9, we see clearly that these kings were destroyed as God promised. Judgment fell upon the enemies of God's people. And friends, this prophecy had a wide sense of God's judgment. It did not only look at those nations, but a wide sense of God's judgment towards those who refuse the word of God. What happened is that as Isaiah was speaking to King Ahaz, Isaiah had his own child in the hand. Let's read chapter number 7, verse 3 quickly. I want us to look there, so that you see this wide sense of judgment. It says there, the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer field." So here the idea that I want to bring to you, or the truth that I want you to know, that Isaiah had his son with him as a picture of the child that was to be born of a virgin. So he says to this king, so he says to this king, before this child is grown up and is able to choose between evil and good, your enemies will be destroyed.
He's giving us
a picture of what will still happen when the son that will be born of a virgin will come. Enemies will be destroyed. So the enemies of God, friends, were destroyed. But check this one. Though judgment fell upon God's enemies, there was another problem. Ahaz had his eye on the Lord and one eye in the world. He had one foot in the church, if you will, and another foot in the world. He did not believe the promises of God. Friends, King Ahaz went to find help. He went to the king of Assyria to find help, to help him fight his enemies, who were the king of Syria, Israel, and Samaria. There's a difference between Assyria and Syria, eh? You must catch that one. He finds help from Assyria. Although God said he was going to do it for him. He looks for help from the world. And verse number 17 tells us, the Lord will bring upon you, upon your people, upon your father's house, a day that was never seen in this world. The king of Assyria is coming against you. Your own friends about to turn against you. That's what happens. He went to buy loyalties from the king of Assyria. The Bible tells us that he went on and changed the structure of the temple and built the structure of the temple in the form of the world, the way the Assyrians do things. He brought wellness into the house of God. He brought wickedness into the palace of God. Not long, friends. Assyria acted to be his friends. Turned against him. Judgment fell upon the nation of Judah. Simply because they refused to believe the message of the cross. They refused to believe the message of the coming Son who is God himself. They refused to humble themselves and let God deal and judge the world. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 19 and 21. Listen to what the Bible says. The Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, for he had made Judah act sinfully and had been very unfaithful to the Lord. That's what he did. So the Lord judged the nation of Judah because of their king and his sin. Remember now the point I was bringing. The child, a picture of destruction and judgment against sin and rebellion. Let us rejoice that the Son of God came to save us. But let us not forget that sin and rebellion will be judged. Every sinful act and sinful thought will be judged. Friends, Assyria acted like a friend, as I was saying. But they destroyed Ahaz. The world that he turned to for help turned against him. And the sin today that keeps you away from God will turn against you one day. The devil that you choose to follow today will turn against you one day. He will turn against you and devour you, my friend. That which you trust outside, the Lord Jesus Christ, will turn against you one day. Will be destroyed. By that that you trust the most, but which is of the world. That is why, friends, those who are still in the world and trusting the things of this world, they will have nowhere to hide in the day of the Lord. The question is, my friends, who do you trust? Because even now, the axe is laid at the roots of the tree. Every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Where do you stand? Let me close. And in closing, let me say to you, this church, there is hope in the midst of a crisis. Turn your eyes away from men. Leave them higher than the horizon of fear and death. Let the virgin birth of Christ remind you of God's sovereign power and control. Let it remind you that we serve a miracle working God. Let it remind you that as you go around looking for a miracle, the miracle you need is Christ working in your heart.
In the midst of a troubling world, the word of God is your only hope. Ahaz had to listen to the word of God. Are you willing to listen to the word of God? Are you willing to hold it and cherish it as something of great value in your own life? Trust in Him. There is nothing impossible with God. Never look for help from the world. The world is looking for help as well. Don't make friendship with the world. The world will turn against you. You have only Jesus as your hope. Let the sinlessness of Christ remind you that righteousness is required to enter into the kingdom of God. He is Emmanuel. God with us. Is He with you? If He is with you, is the life that you live in an emblem or a picture of God with you?
Be
encouraged. Hope is there. But it is in God. Only God can do a miracle. Only God can be with you throughout eternity. And God will judge the wicked. So how can you escape from the judgment of God? How can you escape, my friends? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe may not perish but have eternal life. Have you believed? You need to believe. The Bible continues to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Listen to this. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whosoever does not believe is condemned already. Friends, Christ brings life. One day is bringing judgment. Emmanuel is coming again. May you be found ready. May you be found in Him. The Lord bless you. Amen.